Welcome back. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. 10 years ago, four women who lost their husbands on 9/11 saw many inconsistencies in the official narrative about what happened that day. So they decided to lobby the government to conduct an official investigation. Lori Van Auken, Kristen Breitweiser, Patty Casaza, and Mindy Kleinberg became known as the Jersey Girls. They collected news clips and documents, met with members of Congress, and held rallies for a full government investigation. On September 18, 2002, when much of the public believed the administration when it said the attacks could not have been prevented, Kristen Breitweiser, a Republican who voted for George W. Bush, gave a statement before the Joint House-Senate investigation into intelligence lapses. Here's an excerpt of her testimony.
Our intelligence agencies suffered an utter collapse in their duties and responsibilities leading up to and on September 11th. But their negligence does not stand alone. Agencies like the Port Authority, the City of New York, the FAA, the INS, the Secret Service, NORAD, the Air Force, and the airlines also failed our nation that morning. Perhaps said more cogently, one singular agency's failures do not eclipse another's. And it goes without saying that the examination of the intelligence agencies by this committee does not detract, discount, or dismantle the need for a more thorough examination of all of these other culpable parties. An independent blue ribbon panel would be the most appropriate means to achieve such a thorough and expansive examination, in large part because it would not be limited in scope or hindered by time limits. An independent blue ribbon panel would provide a comprehensive, unbiased, and definitive report that the devastation of September 11th demands.
That is Kristen Breitweiser testifying before a joint congressional inquiry into 9/11 on September 18, 2002. She lost her husband, Ronald, on 9/11. Salon.com's Mary Jacoby said Breitweiser laid out the facts far more effectively than had any senator or representative on the panel. Her testimony may have changed everything. The Bush administration was ardently opposed to any kind of investigation. The day after Breitweiser's testimony, the administration expressed support for an independent commission. The panel's chairman, Republican Thomas Keene and Democrat Lee Hamilton, said they were so frustrated with repeated misstatements, they considered an investigation into possible deception. But that never happened because the panel was, in their words, set up to fail. When the 9/11 Commission made its findings public in 2004, the Jersey Girls said it failed to answer most of their questions. For the past 10 years, they and many others have continued their calls for an independent investigation into what exactly happened. So what do we know today that we did not know 10 years ago? What was missing from the commission's report? What questions still remain? And what would an independent investigation reveal? How would it work exactly? Paul Thompson is a 9/11 researcher and author of The Terror Timeline, Year by Year, Day by Day, Minute by Minute, a comprehensive chronicle of the road to 9/11 and America's response. Paul Thompson and the Jersey Girls are featured in the film 9/11 Press for Truth. And Paul joins us from San Diego. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We are also joined by retired Colonel Ann Wright. She spent 26 years in the U.S. Army and Army Reserves. She was a diplomat in the State Department for 15 years, serving in several U.S. embassies, including Afghanistan, Sierra Leone, and Nicaragua. Ann Wright resigned in 2003 in protest of the then impending invasion of Iraq. In 2009, she co-authored Dissent, Voices of Conscience. Colonel Ann Wright is a member of commissioned and non-commissioned U.S. military officers for 9/11 Truth. Hi, Ann. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
It's great to have you. So, Ann, let's start off with you. 10 years after 9/11, what we're talking about today is still rather taboo. Why do you think an independent investigation is still so important?
Well, the one investigation that's been done by our government, that congressional investigation, that even the two persons that were in charge of it said it was very incomplete, and that they received false information. They received, well, let's say, first ambiguous information, and I would also say false information from members of our own government who were supposed to be there to tell the truth. But I think the American public definitely deserves a true independent investigation of what happened. There are just so many inconsistencies and so many things that are just inexplicable with what the government has given us. And I fully believe we deserve an independent, truly independent investigation, with forcing members of the government and former members of the government to testify before the panel.
Paul Thompson, what are your thoughts on this? Why do you think 10 years on an independent investigation is still so important?
Well, we know a lot now that we didn't know at 2004 when the 9/11 Commission did their report, or what Anne was talking about, 2002, the congressional inquiry. You know, there was an interesting book came out a couple of years ago called The Commission. I think it was by a former New York Times reporter. And it really showed what was going on behind the scenes. And it showed just what a political beast the commission was. For instance, the executive director, Philip Zelikow, of the commission, he had all kinds of conflicts of interest, close ties to people in the Bush administration. He'd had key roles with the Bush administration early on, and it turns out there actually was a back channel of sorts between him and Karl Rove, Bush's famous political advisor, while the commission was going on. So, you know, it was a very political thing. Five Democrats, five Republicans, and so it was. What came out there was really compromised by politics. Well, another example that most people don't know about, I bet even Anne Wright might be surprised to hear about this, is we found out just recently that there were minders. When anybody got interviewed by the commission, there would be people like, let's say you're from the CIA, there would be one or two people from the CIA, maybe some CIA lawyers that would be there. And just recently came out a document from the files of the 9/11 Commission where they were complaining about the interference of these minders. Sometimes they would want to ask a person a question, and the minder would answer the question instead. So, you know, that's kind of how they used to do things in the Soviet Union. That's not how you really conduct an investigation.
Anne, did you know about that?
I didn't know specifically, but I wouldn't doubt it at all. Each one of these, whether it's the State Department or the CIA, the Defense Department, when members of those organizations are asked to testify before Congress, they're usually accompanied by lawyers, and probably they're given very extensive briefings on what the organization wants them to be able to reveal, and things that they are told specifically, you can't talk about this, even though the people are under oath that they're supposed to tell the truth. But the government itself will tell government employees, you cannot talk about this. And, you know, just say, you know, Fifth Amendment, don't want to talk about it. But it's the way the government gets around the truth-telling from members of the government that have had dealings with these very critical events and situations.
What's amazing, and I don't know if many people realize this also, Paul, is that if it weren't for the Jersey girls, these four women who lost their husbands working in the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, this 9/11 commission probably wouldn't have even happened. Is that fair to say?
I think it's fair to say, but I think it's also fair to say that they feel ripped off. That, you know, I heard one of them give an interview a week or two ago, and they felt like that never lived up to their expectations, that it really ended up being a whitewash. You know, one interesting thing that has just been happening recently is you mentioned that the Jersey girls and I were involved in this movie, 9/11 Press for Truth. Well, the two directors of that, they recently have been working on a new project, a kind of a follow-up project. I've been privy to what they've been doing, and it turns out that they've been interviewing a lot of people who were interviewed by the 9/11 Commission, people who are in the CIA, people who are in the FBI, and people who are retired now and are speaking their minds. And what's interesting is that some of those people say that they really couldn't talk freely back then, and they're giving a very different account of their roles in events now than they did back then, because they felt that they were under so much pressure from their institutions to hew to a certain story. So, I mean, that right there tells you that if we really want to have an understanding of what happened, we have to pretty much start from scratch with a new investigation.
Anne Wright, what do you think about that? I mean, you were at the State Department when this happened. Give us a sense of just what the mood was like. You had, you know, Dick Cheney was ardently opposed to an investigation. Former President Bush didn't want it. What were you hearing at the State Department?
Well, there was a deafening silence coming out of my friends in the State Department about events of 9/11. And then later on, as the lead up to, well, 9/11 and then the invasion and occupation of Afghanistan, and then 18 months later, the invasion and occupation of Iraq. I was actually not in Washington during any of those events. I was out in the field and trying to discreetly try to pull information out of my friends who were in the State Department in Washington, D.C., about, like, what's going on there? I mean, what is happening? Finally, one person just emailed and said, don't ask. Just don't ask. You know, and it was like the emails were being monitored, keywords being picked up. And if there was a fear generated by the Bush administration for retribution, retaliation for anyone that was going to speak out on any of these sorts of issues, any sort of dissent or criticism was not accepted at all, and the administration went after these people. Now, and it still continues. I mean, the Obama administration's no better than the Bush administration. In fact, on whistleblowing, the Obama administration now is worse than the Bush administration. They are attacking and going after and prosecuting people who are exposing government fraud, waste, abuse, and demanding accountability. So our own government, and it doesn't matter which party seems to be in power, once they get in power, anyone who criticizes them, questions them, immediately become the enemy.
That is retired Colonel Anne Wright. She spent 26 years in the U.S. Army and Army Reserves. She resigned in 2003 in protest of the then impending invasion of Iraq. She's a member of commissioned and non-commissioned U.S. military officers for 9/11 Truth, along with Daniel Ellsberg, who's been on this show many times. We're also joined by Paul Thompson. He's a 9/11 researcher and author of The Terror Timeline. Today, we are talking about what actually happened that day and calls for an independent investigation from everyone from retired military personnel to 9/11 families. What are your thoughts on an independent investigation? Do you think there should be one? What do you think that should look like? How important is it for you to really go back in time and look at what exactly happened? What unanswered questions do you have? And how do you think something like this should be set up? Because we have some clips we'll play later in the show. But Lee Hamilton and Tom King, the Democrat and the Republican who spearheaded the 9/11 Commission, wrote a book called Without Precedent. They said that this whole panel was, quote, set up to fail. That's in their words. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. So, Anne Wright, what are some of the unanswered questions you still have?
Well, from the commission itself, you know, if you read that commission report, one of the things that just stuck out in my mind, and, you know, here it is 5 years later, 6 years later, the thing that I always am just flabbergasted is that not one place in that report does it really talk about why people hated the United States so much that they would take actions that would result in such violence, the hijacking of planes, ramming them into buildings, things like that. Just that's the first part of it. That part of why that happened just was glossed over. And I can remember reading the report and circling that part of it, like, why? Why did this happen? And we knew what the answers were. I mean, bin Laden and the Al-Qaeda network had already said that the primary cause was the continued presence of the United States in the Middle East. If you look at one of the very first attacks that Al-Qaeda did on U.S. Interests and U.S. entities was in 1995 and the attack of the U.S. Air Force dormitory in Saudi Arabia. That was because after Gulf War I, a lot of U.S. troops, thousands, tens of thousands of U.S. troops were still stationed in Saudi Arabia. And bin Laden was saying, you know, these troops have to get out of the holy land of Saudi Arabia. The whole issue, well, and that was the start of major attacks. You could go back, actually, into the early 90s with the first attack on the World Trade Center. But then later on, 95 was the attack on the Khobar Towers. 1998 was the attack on the two U.S. embassies, blowing them apart in East Africa. And then the attack of the USS Cole, the Navy ship that was docked in Yemen. The other part of this whole thing was the underlying U.S. policy that's been going on for decades of total support for the state of Israel and lack of any concern at all for the plight of Palestinians who were displaced in 1948 by the new state of Israel and whose lands, less than 50% of what they formerly had, have now been reduced to less than 25%. So this whole issue of the United States always supporting Israel, no matter what it did to the Palestinians, is really one of the underlying causes, I think, of this hatred for the United States.
Well, we're going to be joined by Anthony Summers just a couple of minutes, and he writes about that in his book, The 11th Day. Paul, what about you? What are some of your unanswered questions?
Well, if I could, before I answer that...
Actually, why don't I respond to what Ann said?
Yeah, if I could follow up on what Ann said... You know, that issue of Israel and some of the other issues of the motives there, we now know since the commission's finished that work, some of the people on it have spoken up on what was going on behind the scenes, and it turns out there was a really big debate about that, in particular on the Israel issue, and they couldn't reach consensus, so they ended up burying a few mentions in some footnotes about that. You know, but that really shows that, you know, just what a political body it was. It wasn't just a bunch of independent-minded people out there trying to get the truth. It was five Republicans and five Democrats, and they were trying to score political points more than really get to the truth. And so things like that, like the motive, it just became a political football.
And, well, and also the motive we've just heard year after year is, you know, what they hate us for freedom or something like that. But beyond that, it doesn't go deeper at all.
Right, right. And I also like to follow up on what she said about the Obama administration. I've been so disappointed because when Obama was running for office, he talked about the importance of open government. And then, you know, like Ann Wright said, he turned around and has actually been more secretive even than the Bush administration. And I think people generally don't really know just how secretive they've been. For instance, there were some whistleblower cases at the end of the Bush administration that the Bush administration decided to just drop. We'll just, you know, this was kind of a weak case. We'll just let it go. And then Obama came in the office and reopened the cases. So I think nobody was expecting that. And I think the chances of getting any kind of answers at this point with the Obama administration in power on 9/11 issue is pretty slim, but I think we have to keep on pushing anyway.
And Anne, how do you explain this secrecy that you both describe?
Well, it is kind of startling. I mean, it tracks a lot of other things that Obama as a candidate either said or intimated about what his, if he got into office, what he would do. And it turned out that he was not telling the American people the truth about what he was going to do. And we see it from the Guantanamo. It's still open. Here it is 3 years later. It's open. We see it in the, EPA now being decimated again, kind of like the same thing under Bush. No more help for the environment. We see it in civil liberties, the Patriot Act reestablished. The administration did nothing to hand back some of the civil liberties that were taken by the Patriot Act after 9/11. I've been very disappointed also. I mean, it's kind of like it was, it's a totally different person as Obama has now become the president versus what he was telling the American people he would do as a candidate.
So, Anne, you have to leave us in just a couple of minutes. And if you have any questions or comments for Anne Wright before she leaves us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. What would an independent investigation look like?
Well, I think it would certainly require government members to come and, under oath, talk to the commission. It would also bring in people that were not apparently talked to before. I mean, I've been watching on TV on the lead up, you know, to 9/11. There are various shows that are coming out about it, and they're finding that there were a lot of people who were never even talked to by the U.S. government, or if they were, well, no, they weren't. You know, the guy that sold the ticket to some of the hijackers in Boston, nobody's ever talked to him about who they were, what they looked like, anything like that. There's so many holes to this whole thing, and the incredible amount of data that is out there that was never, ever even subpoenaed by the committee. There are tens of thousands of American citizens that have spent a lot of time going into the various aspects of it. Professional people who are offering their comments on what was possible and what wasn't possible. And I think calling on their expertise, not just government employees, but American citizens that have really delved into this, is very important.
And how can people go about trying to get an independent investigation set up when you have people like President Obama saying there's no point in going back in time?
Well, it is like trying to stop the wars.
Right.
I mean, we've demanded accountability. We've tried to stop all of these governmental excesses, reaches, wars. It is very difficult. But for our own consciences, we can't stop, as Paul said. I mean, it is very important that we try to keep the pressure on in any way that we can, putting pressure on our congressional representatives, on the White House itself. We can't give up just because it's hard and it's tough and it seems like no one in the government is listening. We've got to keep after it for our own consciences, and to be able to say to, you know, in the wide breadth of history that we tried, we didn't give up, and we are demanding accountability.
And Anne, 30 seconds before we let you go, why do you think this issue is still so taboo?
Well, because there are lots of interests in the government and outside the government that want it to be silenced, and they are willing to call anyone who dissents from this, from that asks questions about it, as unpatriotic, as fools, as idiots, and can't you ever believe your government? Well, that one alone, with all of the lies that have been told us by virtually every administration, anytime they pull that on you, you have to keep pushing and digging for the truth.
Well, Anne, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rose.
That is retired Colonel Anne Wright. She spent 26 years in the U.S. Army and Army Reserves. She resigned in 2003 in protest of the then impending invasion of Iraq. She, along with people like Daniel Ellsberg, are members of commissioned and non-commissioned U.S. military officers for 9/11 Truth. They believe that the commission report was flawed, and they believe that the truth is in order. And we're also joined by Paul Thompson, author of The Terror Timeline. This is your call. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Your Call on KALW, San Francisco. You could friend us on Facebook. It's another way to spread the word about the programming that you value on local public radio. It's as easy as clicking the link to the station's page at kalw.org. And thank you for your support of your local public radio station, KALW, San Francisco.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. We're podcasting our show. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. You can also listen to past shows there and sign up for our newsletter to find out what's coming up. Tomorrow, we'll be broadcasting live from the Mission Campus of the Community College of San Francisco. Community colleges have long offered affordable and accessible education to people of all ages and walks of life, but they've been hit hard by budget cuts. Potential students are being turned away. There's a loss of many important services. So what do we lose as community colleges scale back? We'll be talking about the value of community colleges, and we'd love to hear your community college story tomorrow. Friday, it's our media roundtable. We'll be joined by a number of reporters to reflect back and look at how the media has changed since 9/11. And today we are talking about what actually happened that day. Can we actually even talk about it in this country? Can we talk about calls for an independent investigation from everyone from former military officers to 9/11 families? We're talking about that with Paul Thompson. He's a 9/11 researcher, author of The Terror Timeline. He's also featured in the film 9/11 Press for Truth. This film documents the Jersey girls, four women who lost their husbands on 9/11, and their fight for an independent investigation. They are still fighting for it this day, although not all of them are still heavily involved in politics. In fact, before the attacks, a lot of them were not even political. And you can watch that movie online. And you can join us at 866-798-8255. What are your thoughts for calls for an independent investigation? What would that look like? How would it run? You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. We have an email from Denise who says, having a real independent commission on the 9/11 tragedy would put a rest to the myriad conspiracy theories. We also have an email from Jane who says she recommends a new book called Mounting Evidence, Why We Need a New Investigation into 9/11 by Professor Paul Ray. She says, my own burning question since the early morning of September 11th is this, where was the Air Force? Paul, I'm sure you hear that question a lot.
Yeah, I've got questions about that, too. I think that you have to cut some slack to the Air Force because the chaos of the moment and so forth. But the thing is that those four planes were flying around the East Coast of the United States for quite a long time. It was over an hour in duration, really, when they were first notified and when the last one crashed. And one of the things that I've never understood is that I see as one of the big mysteries of that day is that there were a couple of bases where they had some fighters ready and take off. And there are many, many other bases all over the eastern coast of the United States. And we now know that the commanders at a lot of those bases called in to NORAD and said, I have fighters. I can get them ready in 15 minutes. I can have them up and flying. And, according to the official story, those people, those bases were said, well, just kind of hold off for now. And as a result, there were just a very small number of four fighters in total that were involved when there were so many potential military resources to be used. So it's a real head scratcher.
Well, thank you for the email. Many questions about that one, and you can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. Again, that's Paul Thompson, author of The Terror Timeline. He's featured in the film 9/11 Press for Truth. And now I'd like to welcome Anthony Summers to the show. Anthony is an investigative journalist and author. He's reported on the conflicts in the Middle East, the Vietnam War, and he's out with a new book called The 11th Day, The Full Story of 9/11 and Osama bin Laden. Anthony and Robin Summers examine the connections between Saudi Arabia and the hijackers, the Bush White House's decision to ignore or bury evidence, and the frustration of lead investigators, including the commission staffers, counterterrorism officials, and senators on both sides of the aisle. Hi, Anthony. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
So you have just done exhaustive research on 9/11. First off, why don't you talk about some of the unanswered questions you were hoping to answer, and were you successful at that?
I don't think one went into it exactly with questions. We worked for 5 years solidly, and as a sort of almost what's become almost a science for us or for me in terms of the previous 5, 6, 7 books, it was suggested to me early on years ago when I met the historian Arthur Schlesinger that chronology is the basis of the art of history and biography. And I've abided by that rule. And we built, first of all, a huge chronology. If I was able to stack it, print it out and stack it up, it would stand about as high as the desk here. To your question, we did begin very aware of what, for want of a better word, one can call the conspiracy theories, the theories advanced by people who call themselves the truthers and so on, which range from the ridiculous, the suggestion that planes did not fly into the Pentagon or into the Twin Towers, which is ludicrous, and I don't think is worth debating in any serious way, to the central tenet of conspiracy theory, which is that the towers did not come down just because aircraft hit them and the inferno that followed, but were that there may have been explosives planted in the towers, which leads the conspiracy theorists on to the notion that there was some dark administration plot behind the whole thing, that the various suggestions have been that either the Bush administration let it happen on purpose or, worse, made the thing happen. We found no basis in truth for that whatsoever and devoted as thorough a chapter as one had space for, two chapters, I believe, on what are known as the conspiracy theories. And what I think those conspiracy theories did, they were baseless. Virtually everything in conspiracy theory is completely without base if you really start to look at it. But what they did was to distract attention from the true puzzles, which are numerous and which include, for example, what did U.S. intelligence know in advance of what might be about to happen? And that does, in terms of hard fact and hard material, lead one on a very interesting chase.
Well, and that's the main question that the four women who lost their husbands raised, and that's why they fought so hard for an investigation. That brings us to a question by one of our listeners, Greg. He says, a new commission needs to be convened within the government that will not be as corrupted as the original commission. The larger issue of total secrecy, propaganda, and lies to the American people must be addressed before any progress can be made. Please ask your guests, do they believe there was only negligence and incompetence leading up to 9/11, or was there something more sinister? Anthony, what are your thoughts?
I think it's neither exactly the sinister or the negligence necessarily. The abiding mystery that we know about in terms of the intelligence knowledge on 9/11 surrounds the following. The first two future hijackers to arrive in the United States arrived here in January 2000, a full 20 months before 9/11. And there's an extraordinary background to that, which is that the CIA knew that one of those was associated with al-Qaeda and that he was on the way to a meeting with terrorists before he even left Saudi Arabia. They got into his hotel room, they photographed his passport, and the passport showed that he had a visa to enter the United States. They later discovered that they had him surveilled at the meeting to which he went in Malaysia, and they became aware that his companion also had an entry visa to the United States. What's more, after they had landed in the United States at Los Angeles, the CIA got information that that one of them at least had arrived and would have been a very small step from there to establish that the other one had also arrived because they came in on the same aircraft. And yet, they didn't do anything, we're told. Didn't do anything about it. They didn't tell the FBI, which is responsible for domestic counterterrorism, and should have picked up the baton at that point, and didn't tell the State Department. Now, that is truly extraordinary. And in the end, the CIA admitted that it had made, quote, I think, multiple errors. Now, I'm sometimes in favor of the screw-up theory of history rather than the conspiracy theory of history, but so many mistakes appear to be made that it becomes less than credible. And serious people, serious observers within the FBI and elsewhere, just 2 weeks ago, Dick Clark, who was the counterterrorism coordinator under both President Clinton and President Bush, was quoted as saying that his only conclusion that he could come to was that the CIA had wanted to run some sort of an operation on these guys when they arrived. He speculated that either they wanted to turn the two hijackers, that is, to turn them into informants, or that they wanted to surveil them other than through the FBI. Well, if they did either of those things, they certainly failed miserably, because those two terrorists were later two hijackers on the plane that hit the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. That's the sort of question that has not been resolved and should be resolved. I mean, your caller there suggested that there should be a new commission. I'm not sure that that is the answer, not least because I think it is entirely unlikely that a new commission will be established, and that the failings of the old commission may not necessarily be judged as corrupt, which is the word that your caller used. But I think they've certainly blurred the issue, and that to a great degree, the commission was a sort of sedative for the American people.
Well, we have a number of emails about the commission, so I want to play a clip from Lee Hamilton and Thomas King, a Democrat and a Republican. This is Lee Hamilton speaking on the CBC News World, September 10th, 2006, followed by Thomas King from C-SPAN the very next day, 9/11/2006.
So there are all kinds of reasons we thought we were set up to fail. We got started late. We had a very short time frame. Indeed, we had to get it extended. We did not have enough money. They were afraid we were going to hang somebody, that we would point the finger.
Lee and I write in our book that we think the commission in many ways was set up to fail, because we had not enough money. We didn't have enough time. We'd been appointed by the most partisan people in Washington.
That's Republican Tom Keene and Democrat Lee Hamilton, the commissioners of the 9/11 Commission. They wrote a book about their experience in Without Precedent. Paul Thompson, would you respond to what Anthony just said? Also respond to our listeners' question, and then we'll get back to phone. We'll get to phone calls.
Sure. Yeah, I think what he's talking about is very important. In particular, this Richard Clark video that came out. If people want to see that, they can go to secrecykills.com. It's about a 12-minute clip, and I think it's really worthwhile watching. And if what Richard Clark says is true, it pretty much just makes a lot of the work of the 9/11 Commission pointless, because they really didn't get to the heart of the really important issues. In fact, I have a quote I just saw today in an article, brand new article, came out in The Independent, the newspaper in Britain, and it's by Mark Rossini. He's a FBI agent who was involved in the search for the two hijackers that that Summers was talking about, Khalid Almidar and Nawaf al-Hazmi. And Mark Rossini says, quote, "The official 9/11 Commission report was a much-praised, beautifully written, and put-together historical account. But it never got to why it happened. It failed to highlight the importance of the information never given by the CIA to the FBI about the meeting in Malaysia, and therefore it's not worth a hill of," and then I can't say the next word on the radio, but hill of beans is basically what he's saying. So they really didn't get to the heart of some of the really most critical issues. And to get back to the listeners, or to the person who wrote that email, I think that if you were to really have a real uncovering of the facts here, I think that there would be a lot of people in the CIA in particular who could be easily convicted of criminal negligence, because it was not just that they dropped the ball. It was there are instances we know where, for instance, they kept this information about the U.S. visa from the FBI, and then they turned around and would send out a cable saying that they just told the people in the FBI about it. So we can see deliberate lying and cover-up going on. And this is, 20 months before 9/11.
Well, we've got a number
if
of...
I may,
sure,
if
Anthony.
I may come in there just
Go
for
ahead.
A moment. This is Anthony Summers again. I think Paul Thompson, whose work I'm familiar with, has it very much right. Picking up also on those clips that you played just before of the co-chairs of the commission saying, extraordinarily, frankly, after the fact that they had been set up to fail and that it was thought that they wanted to hang someone, what emerges from all the verbiage and from the research that's been done in the last few years is that the people they were worried about being hanged were the Saudis, that the Saudis were clearly involved, some Saudis were clearly involved as a sort of support network in the United States. In fact, Beth, I'm speaking to you now from Florida and working on an aspect of that down here right at the moment. And what one of the two co-chair has said is that the 9/11 Commission report was a first draft of history. And that's it. And that's what it was, except that it's a rather blurred and bent first draft of history.
Well, we've got a number of callers on the line, so let's go through a few and then we'll get responses from our guest, Anthony Summers, co-author of The 11th Day, and Paul Thompson, author of The Terror Timeline. Let's hear from Andrea in Santa Cruz. Hi, Andrea.
Hi. I like everything that I'm hearing, and it's so great to be with you, Rose. I would like for these gentlemen to explain the collapse of Building 7 when it wasn't hit by anything and the hole in the side of the Pentagon, because I just have a really hard time believing that a handful of 19 Arabs did all this all by themselves. And I'll take my replies off air. Thank you.
All right, thank you. We'll get a response in just a couple minutes. Let's go to Dr. Baker in San Francisco.
Hi.
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 Hi, go ahead. You're on the air.
I'd like to ask Paul, if he's familiar with John O'Neill. I haven't read his timeline, but John O'Neill was the counterterrorism expert for the FBI, I think in the middle to late 90s. And he went over to Africa to investigate those embassy bombings. And he found in his research after the fact that Al-Qaeda was planning to crash planes into buildings. The weird thing about his life is that the FBI kicked him out for being too flamboyant.
Hmm.
And he went on to become the head of security at the Twin Towers. So he was there when that horrifying thing happened.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. We'll get a response in just a minute. Let's hear from Ede in Berkeley. Hi, Ede. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. Yeah. People forget the fact that Kissinger and George Mitchell were appointed first before Kaine and Hamilton, and Kissinger quit like a few days later, and somebody had to ask, why did he? Then I also like to bring the project for New American Century and the role of the new conservative in making a new Pearl Harbor, remembering that Project for New American Century was written in 1998, so many years before 9/11. That is really the core of the whole mystery. What role did the new conservative play in creating 9/11? Was it directly or indirectly? It doesn't really matter. We have to consider a lot about the new conservative. And in fact, they were always in contact with bin Laden during the Russian-Afghan war, when bin Laden used by them to fight the Russians. So I will wait for your answer.
All right. Well, thank you. Anthony, since Ed brought up bin Laden and your book is about, there's so much about bin Laden in your book. What's your response?
The end of what the caller was just saying was blurred for me. I did hear the previous caller quite clearly, and I would just like to speak to a moment to the caller who called in and queried the collapse of World Trade Center 7, which was a building near one of the towers, a large, tall building, which indeed caught fire and collapsed and has been deemed mysterious by conspiracy theorists. I don't think there is any mystery to it at all there. The best explanation to me is that early on in the day, the chief the firefighting officials were so concerned that it would collapse, that it showed signs of collapse because of the intensity of the fire and the fact that it had been so damaged when huge trunks of the nearby tower fell on it, that they cordoned it off and wouldn't let their own firefighters near the damn thing. There's no question, I think, of it being blown up by explosives any more than there is evidence of the towers themselves being blown up by explosives. It's just a red herring, just like the business of the hole in the Pentagon, which was, in fact, if one studies it, rather wider than it appeared in the photograph that the lady was describing. And all those theories sort of snatched out of the air in a slightly paranoid fashion really distract from the real issues about this matter.
Well, if I could speak on that issue really briefly, I have more sympathy to people who ask those kinds of questions, although I think, you know, sometimes when you get to talking about holograms crashing into the buildings and things, you know, then that has a very unfortunate effect on the debate. But, you know, for instance, with this World Trade Center 7 building, I think there's a genuine mystery there. Sure, that it was clear that the building was going to come down. There were some people talking about that before it came down, that they have to get away from the building and so forth. But the way it came down was quite strange, so much so that a government institution called the NIST, they did an investigation about how that building came down, and they worked on it for years. And as late as 2008, after they had literally worked on it for 7 years, the head of the investigation said, "We still don't understand how that building came down the way that it did." So, you know, they'd spent tremendous amount of money and put all kinds of engineers at that task. And if they can't figure it out, how is it that somebody just, you know, you or I looking at that, it just can't figure it out either? So I can see why people look at that and they're very puzzled. To get to some of the other questions, we had a caller ask about John O'Neill. I think he's a very pivotal figure in all of this. A lot of people, when they say, why is it that the FBI and the CIA didn't get along, they say that it was because of personality conflicts and people didn't want John O'Neill to know what was going on about these two hijackers because he kind of just take over everything. And I think what's really significant about what Richard Clark had to say recently in that video is he's saying that those kinds of explanations are not sufficient, because if you look at just how much and how extensive this cover-up was, it goes way beyond that. For instance, I came across something really interesting recently, which was there was a letter written by Thomas Picard, who was the acting FBI director just before 9/11. And he said that he was briefing, the Attorney General John Ashcroft, and he wanted to talk about the Malaysia meeting to John Ashcroft. And he mentioned in this letter he gave the 9/11 Commission, he was not allowed to do that because there was a close hold on that information from the CIA, which meant that the CIA had put a rule out saying nobody is allowed to talk about this. So the Attorney General is the top law enforcement officer in the United States. And for 2 years, pretty much, before 9/11, even he was not even allowed to find out that there had been this Malaysia meeting, much less that some of the future hijackers had visas to come in the United States. So it goes much beyond the issue of John O'Neill and some of these personality conflicts.
I agree.
Well, we unfortunately don't have much more time. I wish we had another couple hours because we have so many other questions. One caller says, please pin your guests down on this key point. Based upon their years of investigation, is it possible that the government, quote, let down its guard intentionally without knowing what might be the nature of the attack, not knowing that the attack would be so incredibly devastating, but let down its guard so that an attack could happen in order to justify the huge change in policies to be pursued, which have in fact happened? And he says we need to look at the Project for a New American Century report. A new Pearl Harbor is required. Anthony, what are your thoughts?
Well, you can't pin somebody down on something that, as the listener says, is a possibility. I suppose all things are possible. I think that what she describes is improbable. What is clear, and I agree with Paul Thompson on this, is that there is a skein of U.S. intelligence secrecy, things that have not been made clear, not revealed, and that senior officers in the CIA have been protected. You know, there was an accountability suggestion that an accountability board examine the performance of unnamed senior officers, except that they included the then director of the CIA, George Tenet, and Portugal's declined to have that review board and simply said that they're amongst the agency's finest. They may have been among the agency's finest, but something evidently went terribly wrong, and the truth has not been told about whatever went terribly wrong.
Yeah, if I could answer that question, too.
Yes.
I found this very interesting interview that Richard Clark gave a couple of years ago that touches on this issue, and I'll read it to you. It's real short. He says, quote, "Prior to 9/11, a number of people in the White House were saying to me, you know, this administration, particularly Cheney, but also Bush and people like Wolfowitz in the Pentagon, are really intent on going to war with Iraq." And I would just, to move away from the quote, I would point out that these people like Cheney and Wolfowitz are these involved in the project for the New American Century that a couple of the readers or callers were talking about. So I'll continue the quote here. "And this was the whispered conversations in the National Security Council staff. Early on in the administration, people I knew and trusted in the administration were saying to me, you know, they're really going to do it. They're going to go to war with Iraq. And I was flabbergasted. Why would you want to do that of all the things in the world that one could choose to do?"
Well, Paul, unfortunately, we're out of time, but we will continue this conversation. We have so many other emails. Paul Thompson is author of The Terror Timeline. Anthony Summers is co-author of The 11th Day. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening. Here's what's coming up tomorrow. What is the value of community colleges? On the next Jura Call, we'll be broadcasting live from the Mission Campus of the Community College of San Francisco. Community colleges have long offered affordable and accessible education to people of all ages and walks of life. But budget cuts have resulted in potential students being turned away and a loss of services. So what do we lose as community colleges scale back? Join us at 10 or email feedback@yourcallradio.org. What is your community college story? It's Jura Call with Holly Kernan and you. We'll be right back.